Good evening, everyone. It's lovely to be able to come out in the sunshine, and it's even better to be able to share with you the sunshine of God's glorious truth. Now, as is our custom, we like to sing a wee hymn, or part of one, to introduce our open-air meeting, and we're going to do that tonight. We're singing the first three verses of the hymn in our hymn book, 281, There is a Fountain Filled with Blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. You might have a hymn book in your home, and if you look up the index, the chances are you'll find this very hymn. So look it up. And if you don't sing along with us, although we'd welcome that, you can at least follow the words as we sing this lovely hymn. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stain, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see a fountain in his day, and there have I, so vile is he, washed all my sins away. Lord, all my sins away, washed all my sins away. And there have I, so vile is he, washed all my sins away. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. 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 Well, we chose that hymn because there's a reference in it, in the second verse, of an incident that we read about in the Gospel of Luke and in the chapter 23. And of course, what we read about is the conversion of the dying thief. I like to give a little title to any message that I'm preaching, and I'd like to entitle this message, The Death of the Best Known Criminal in the World. It seems you can't open your newspaper in these days without a report being given of some hoodlum who stands, as it were, head and shoulders above other hoodlums, and who has been caught by the police, brought to court, and sentenced for their crimes. But while we have undoubtedly a breed of criminals in this land of ours, not all of whom would be termed criminals or looked upon as criminals, but nevertheless criminals they are, criminals of the worst sort, but none of them are as well known as the man about whom I would like to say a few words tonight. Now, well known and all as he is, I can't put a name on him. He's just the dying thief. The dying thief. That's one title he has, but I've heard him referred to as the man who stood on the doorstep of hell, but was snatched away to heaven. And that's a good title for him. It's infinitely greater than the title that was given to old Judas Iscariot. He was known as the man who kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. Old John Bunyan said of the dying thief that he was a man who at the very vestibule of damnation was unable to find a way to heaven. It's a marvellous, marvellous story, and one that's absolutely true. Let me say first of all about this man that his conversion was most unusual. Most unusual. It has been rightly said by a wise commentator that his conversion is recorded in the scriptures to show to us the power and the mercy of God and his ability to rescue even the most wicked. And were the dying thief to hear what I am saying, he wouldn't object in the slightest to me saying of him that he was a most wicked man indeed. Minutes before he was converted, we find in Matthew chapter 27 and the verse 43 that he was joining in with all those who stood around the cross where Jesus was crucified. There he was, the thief, nailed to another cross, a short distance away from the Savior, and he was joining in the mockery of those who were gathered around the Savior's cross and who were despising the Lord Jesus and heaping insult upon him. And the dying thief did the same. Here's what we read in Matthew chapter 27, the verse 43 and the verse 44. Here's the cry of the mockers. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And here's the significant bit. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. So minutes before this man's conversion, he's joining in the blasphemies that were being heaped upon the Lord Jesus. I tell you, he was a most wicked person, this dying thief. His conversion was most unusual indeed. But then let me tell you this, that same commentator indicated that this is the only conversion of this type that is recorded in the Bible. It's the only conversion of a man who on his very deathbed turns to the Savior and is saved, his sins forgiven, and within minutes was enjoying the blessings of heaven. It's the only one, and we need to take note of that. We need to take note of that. It's not as if there were a whole lot of deathbed conversions recorded. There's only the one. And that's recorded to warn you. Not to say, as perhaps you have been tempted to say, and as many have said, oh, I'll be like the dying thief. I'll wait till the last minute and then I'll get saved. My dear friend, that is insulting God, and it's claiming for yourself a power that you don't have. You don't have the power to turn to God whenever it is you desire. The turning on to God is a result of the workings of God in the heart. Then secondly, let me point out to you that we must also notice that not only was this a most unusual conversion, but that this conversion was most usual, normal. And by that I mean he was saved in the most unusual of circumstances, but he was saved in the usual way, the way everyone else is converted. If you read the account of his conversion, you will find first and foremost that he was awakened to his sinfulness. Now, minutes before he was blind to his sin, when he was joining in with the others who mocked the Lord Jesus, he didn't think he was doing wrong. He didn't think for a moment he was doing wrong. He had no conscience troubling him when he did that. But suddenly he became aware of his sinfulness. He suddenly heard the other thief mocking and saying, if you are the Christ, if you are who you claim to be, then come down off the cross and take us with you. Deliver us. And by the mercy of God, those words had an impact upon the dying thief who was converted, because he instantly retorted and rebuked his companion in crime and said, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." That man was owning his sin. I'm sure during his trial he protested his innocence. He said, "Your Honor, I didn't do it. I know nothing about it. I'm being framed by the police." I'm sure he said something like that. But he's not speaking like that now, for God has opened his eyes. He recognizes a sinner. And he says more than that. He says, "We are getting what we deserve. We're getting what we deserve." That's the real proof of a man realizing he's a sinner. He openly acknowledges, "I deserve hell. I deserve hell." That was the first step in this man's conversion. And it's the step that everybody has to take. And it's the step you'll have to take if you're ever going to get to heaven. You'll notice also that suddenly this man, nailed on the cross and dying, had his mind filled with thoughts of getting right with God. Now, a man dying in the circumstances in which this man was dying had a lot to think about. Maybe he had a wife, maybe he had children, maybe he had some thoughts about what was going to happen to them when he dies, as die he would. He had his pains and his sufferings to think about. We have an adjective in the English language to describe terrible pain. We use the word excruciating. That word comes from crucifixion, because death by crucifixion was a most painful thing. So that would be filling the mind of anyone who was dying on a cross. And yet, supreme in this man's thoughts was the desire to get right with God. Nothing mattered more to him than that he get saved. Almost in his last breath, he addresses Christ and asks for salvation. That was the most important matter to him. And my dear friend, so it is with everybody who gets saved. Up until the time of their conversion, they might have thought of their business, they might have thought of their loved ones, they might have thought of their pleasures, they might have thought of 1,001 things that took the place in their minds before everything else. And right down at the bottom of the heap, if there were even thoughts at all, that's where you found the thoughts about eternity. But when a man suddenly becomes the object of God's dealings, right to the very top of the pile, there comes an awareness, "I need to get right with God." So it was with this man. Nothing mattered more than getting right with God. I would say that what played a part in this man's conversion was what others said about the Lord Jesus, even if they said it in mockery, and what was written over the Saviour on his cross. Those who mocked him said, "You said you are the Christ." And that man therefore heard, even in that mocking word, he heard the claims of Christ. "You have said you're God's Son." That man was hearing in the voice of those who sneered the gospel. And furthermore, he saw it written over the Saviour's cross, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." You mightn't think there's much gospel there, but I tell you, there is nothing but gospel there. "This is Jesus." The word Jesus means Saviour. That's what the word means. So written across the top of the Saviour's cross was, "This is the Saviour." And then it said, "The King of the Jews." I was mentioning in the church service this evening how that in the Bible there are many expressions used by the Jewish people when they referred to their Messiah. I mentioned tonight the title, "The Son of David." The Son of David. That's one of the titles of the Messiah, as is the title that was written on the cross, "The King of the Jews." That's one of the titles of the Messiah. That's why the Jews came to Pilate and said, "Take down that sign. Don't put that up. put up something like it saying, he says he is the King of the Jews. But Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. It stays there. It was a proclamation that Jesus the Savior was the Messiah. And all this would have helped the dying thief to understand that by the marvelous, indescribable mercy of God, he had been brought by providence to die right beside the only one who could save him. Oh, the dying thief in heaven tonight is a happy man. A man with a most unusual testimony. A most unusual testimony. And yet, he found the Savior in the usual way. He was helped by what he heard and what he read. My dear friend, if you're ever to get to heaven, this book that I am holding in my hand, and I'm sure what you have a copy of in your home, is what you will have to read and believe if you're going to get to heaven. One last wee thing, it's this. This man died with the wonderful comfort of assurance that he was going to heaven, and that assurance was given him by the Lord. Wasn't Peter who said, you're all right, now you go to heaven? Wasn't John or Matthew or any of the apostles? Wasn't them that offered this assurance? It was the Lord. And the true Christian has the Lord's assurance they're going to heaven. When the man cried out unto the Savior, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. It says the Lord answered him. Do you really think I'm going to take the likes of you to heaven? No. No, he didn't say that. I heard you mocking me but a few minutes ago. Do you think I'm going to save you? No. No, he didn't say that either. But what he did say was, verily, or truly, of a truth, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's the comfort that man had when he died. Physically he hadn't many comforts. There wasn't a friend there to hold his hand as he died. There wasn't a friend there to speak a word of kindness to him as he died. But he had the word of the Lord. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. The Lord Jesus died before the thief. The Lord Jesus died because he gave himself unto death. He died to the surprise of the Roman authorities, because it usually took someone quite a while to die on the cross. And when it was said he was dead, they said, what? Check it out. And they checked it out. And yes, he really was dead. So he died before the thief died. And I want to tell you that when the thief died, the Lord Jesus was waiting there for him and took him into his presence. And he's there still tonight. Oh, my friend, this is the way of salvation. This is the word of God. If you're not saved, will you learn from the dying thief? Will you learn from the man who stood on the doorstep of hell and was about to take a step right into hell when God in his mercy rescued and took him to heaven? May the Lord bless his word to your hearts, and you'll be always welcome to join with us, as you know, up there on the hill in the Free Presbyterian service. God bless you. Thank you for listening. We'll close with a wee word of prayer. Dear Lord, we pray you'll bless the word tonight and bless every home, every person within the sound of our voice this evening. And oh God, grant that there will be an opening of any heart that's closed against the gospel, the receiving of the Savior as theirs. May they have the experience of the dying thief, and from this night have the comfort of Christ's word regarding eternal. Answer prayer, Lord, we ask of thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.